Welcome once again to In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey, and across from me, as usual, is our great hostess, Shar Shar. How does your early spring garden grow?
I see little tiny bulbs trying to peek out of the earth right now, so spring is on its way.
I know, but they've been doing that since February. Shar, I mean, I really have a little bit of concern, and I don't want to start today's program on a down note.
No.
But I do have a little bit of concern, and as do a lot of people, we've had a lot of lilac buds, mm-hmm. and we've had a lot of tree buds that
tree
have been
buds,
swelling
yes.
for a couple of months now. And I think we're only going to have to, time will tell,
right.
as to how much impact this unusual turn of events season-wise
right.
will be. I'm really hoping, you know, the lack of moisture, the lack of just predictability is something that I have a feeling that has gardeners in a spin right now.
I think everybody's a little concerned.
As we go through our every Wednesday meeting with you, I hope that you will share with us some of the things that you're seeing in this unusual garden season. And, you know, give us a heads up. I hope to put on our Facebook page, In the Garden with Kelly and Shar, some of the things that we're seeing in our area. And, you know, we don't want to be alarmist, but we want people to know what's happening out there, because
right.
some of these things are just truly unprecedented.
They are. I haven't seen a spring like this in a long time.
I really haven't either. All right. Today's topic is seeds and slips. And I have a slip artist right next to me here, and she's going to start us off.
Oh, I love to slip. And people are probably wondering, what is she talking about? We'll get into it in a few paragraphs later. But seeds and slips. We'll start with the seeds first. Growing seeds requires more than simply sticking a seed into soil and hope for the best. It's an opportunity to foster growth through mindful care and attention, from sowing all the way up to harvest, if it's a vegetable, that is. This is the real experience gained from growing a seed, a genuine connection with the processes and elements that make up, say, our food sources. But now, one of my fondest memories of growing up on my family's farm was when my mother turned me, a 5-year-old, loose with some seed packets and let me try out my independence as a would-be gardener. I failed miserably that first time, planting seeds in a way too shady spot. But despite that first failure, I've been in love with gardening ever since, failures and successes included. When it comes to gardening, it isn't uncommon for people to start off with young seedlings bought from a local nursery or market. Purchased seedlings can be wonderful, but there's something special about growing plants from seed. Before we delve into the do's and don'ts of seed starting, and since this is radio, let's go for an imaginary tour of a seed packet. Here are a few things you'll find somewhere on the packet, usually on the back. Days to germination. How many weeks prior to the last frost to plant the seeds? Whether or not direct sowing is into the garden is the preferred method of planting. Depth of planting the seed. Then if direct sowing, how far apart in the row? Thinning, how far apart? Moisture requirements, light requirements. If it's a veggie, date to maturity for harvesting purposes. Growing tips specific to the variety or species. Country of seed origin. Some packets have a plant tag option that you can place on a wooden stick. Plant description. Whether easy or difficult to grow. If it's a veggie, when to plant a repeat crop. And also some even offer a drawing of what the seedling might look like as it first comes through the soil. Whew, that's a lot of info, isn't it, Kelly?
It really is, especially that last tip of what the seedling might look like,
mm-hmm.
because often when it first emerges, it looks completely different than you would anticipate the mature leaf looks for. And you want to make sure that you're not pulling what you thought was weeds and it turned out to be your seeds.
Absolutely. One other thing you might see at the very bottom of the seed packet is the date the seed was packaged for. for sale, that is. Here, we'd encourage you not to rely too heavily on expired seed packets. The chance for germination goes down considerably with each passing year. So to improve your chances, start with new or fresh seed. And we'll address seed collecting from your own garden on a future show, by the way.
You know, while a veteran gardener might have growing plants from seed down to a science, it can be tricky for newcomers to know the what, when, and how behind seed starting. Well, there's good news. You can experience success by avoiding some common mistakes when starting plants from seed. First, pay attention to the time required when starting indoors. Where might you find this info? You guessed it, on the back of the seed packet. Once your seeds are started, it's important to care for them in a way that stimulates healthy growth. And there's a dozen things that can go wrong through the seed starting process. But a few simple choices when it comes to a daily care can increase your chances of success. And I think that's probably my biggest thing is timing.
Yeah.
You get so excited because we live in a cold weather climate, or at least we used to. And we start them too early. And then we have mature plants long before they're ready to be placed outside.
Right.
You know, we have a word here about morning glory seeds and sweet pea seeds. Both species seeds have a very hard outer shell. And in order to better help them along in the germinating process, it's best to somehow scratch or break that shell with either a fingernail file or something similar. Then soak them for a period of time, probably around 24 hours, or keep them under moist paper towels until a sprout emerges, which could take a while. Now, I remember very well in science class in fourth grade, we had bean seeds and a piece of paper towel, and we sprayed, and we thought, well, why aren't we putting these in dirt?
Yeah.
And the teacher said, just wait and see. And we put them in little plastic containers, and we had them just in a paper towel, and we would mist them every day.
Yep.
And lo and behold, sure enough, I don't remember how many days, but we were so excited to see that that seed would actually sprout without soil and without being placed underground. We just, that was, I remember that
we
very
did that
vividly.
Too. Yep.
Yep, that's great. Now here's the light requirements for freshly planted seeds. No light is needed until they emerge from their growing medium, which by the way, should be a loose seed starting specific soil. In other words, looser soil is better than heavier potting soil. Seed starting soil usually comes dry in its bag, and you'll need to moisten it somewhat. Once the seeds are planted, check almost every day for seedlings to emerge, and they might be super tiny.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a seed starting electric heat mat, which I have one of those.
Me too.
And unfortunately, I misused it and cooked my seeds the first time. That's the nice thing about seeds. Generally, they're a little bit more on the inexpensive side.
Yes.
And you can afford to fail once in a while, but you have to keep an eye on the heating control of that. So if you're going to use one of those mats, the heat underneath the startup pots prompt the seeds to get going. Then after the seedlings once emerge, you might want to unplug the heat mat. And that's what I didn't do. Now, while your seedlings are still in their peat pots or whatever growing medium you have them started in, you should water them from the bottom, because overhead watering directly on tender young seedlings could be a mistake and might threaten their stalks too much, bending them over or even breaking them. So you can use a bottom tray underneath, one that doesn't have any holes in it, and then add water to that lower tray so that the holes in the peat pots or the starter pots will soak upwards. It's important to keep the foliage of the seedlings dry to prevent fungus and mildew. At this stage, good air circulation is also really important, but don't use a strong breeze or fan blowing directly on them either.
Right.
Just something in an adjacent room to keep that air circulating. Then, don't throw away all your hard work of getting your seeds to germinate by ignoring this next vital step, hardening off those baby plants. And if you've grown them indoors, they're going to be needed to be hardened off gradually so as not to suffer shock from either wind damage or exposure from too strong of sun rays. Consider how many plants are started in greenhouses and the intricate amount of instructions that those greenhouse supervisors have in order to keep those plants healthy. A little bit of sun, a little bit of moving air, a little bit of heat. I mean, It's really wonderful. Yes. And I must say, but there's nothing like starting them from seeds because you can really see how they get going.
Yep.
We're talking today about seeds. If you feel the need to plant some seeds, I hope that you're enjoying our program today on In the Garden with Kelly and Shar. And we're here every Wednesday. You know, Shar, so many of these tips and so many of our topics may have some application to what you're doing or maybe something that you've done in the past. And if you have some suggestions or some successes, we'd love to hear them. So yes. Check out our Facebook page, In the Garden with Kelly and Shar, and we'd love to feature some of your photos or some of your questions. All right, Shar, back to those seeds.
At first, during the early part of germination process, you won't need light, not until the baby seedlings first peek their heads out of the dirt. So this is where it's necessary for you to keep a close eye on the seed starting tray on a daily basis, actually, to check for those tiny little shoots. Once they appear, if a window with natural light isn't an option for you, I would recommend investing in a grow light. I have several in my home, and the bulbs usually last for several years.
You're going to have to consider how many weeks each plant type should remain indoors before being transplanted. And the time, as we said, can vary from 1 to 4 months. Now, 4 months probably for some very long germinating plants, such as geraniums or pansies, are typical.
Mm-hmm. A little more on hardening. How long should this process be? It can be from 1 to 2 weeks, and it involves exposing the baby plants to increasing time outdoors. Simply starting with a few hours each day is enough to trigger the plant's cell walls to start thickening and creating sort of a calloused effect on the foliage, which is a good thing. Waiting to transplant until this effect has occurred reduces the potential damage of transplant shock. Another good motto is, timing is key. What do we mean by that? Don't start your seeds all at the same time. Identify your last spring frost date and count backward. Then consult your seed packet information as we mentioned earlier.
You know, spring is the perfect time. And although we're talking about seeds and slips, dividing plants in early spring, such as butterfly weed and perennial hibiscus and hostas, may be a good idea for you, especially if you're trying to expand your garden or thin it back a little bit for better growing. Now, these butterfly weeds and the perennial hibiscus may be more slow to emerge.
Right.
But I can always see the points of my hostas where they start peeking out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really hardy. You can divide those almost any time.
Right.
A word here today on our show about slips and creating plants. This is something you might not do so much in spring, but in late summer, when you have that special coleus or geranium that you absolutely do not want to lose, right, Shar?
Right.
Now, taking a slip is easy to do, although you might have a few failures trying it, but it's worth it nevertheless. I call it bonus plants.
Yes.
Now, either on a coleus or geranium, or maybe even an impatiens, find a length of stalk about 4 to 5 inches long. It shouldn't be too long. It has to be able to sustain itself.
Right.
Then you use a sharp, clean knife and make a smooth, clean cut, not directly on a node, and you'll find those nodes where it looks like there's just a small bump,
mm-hmm.
where there's a mounding of some sort of type to shoot, but preferably just below such a node.
Mm-hmm.
You can dip the stalk into rooting hormone powder and then place directly into somewhat modestly moist growing medium, and definitely not in soggy soil.
Right. For coleus, they often root quite easily in water. I do this every winter. They sit in water all winter long and do quite well. Make sure, though, the water to start out with when you made your cut is room temperature, not too warm, not too cold. And make sure the jar or glass that you've chosen is clean and free of any previous plant matter. Don't use plastic containers. Glass is best. Once a coleus has developed roots, you can then plant their stalks directly into soil medium. Geraniums do not do well hydroponically, which means in water. Place geranium slips directly into soil, or rather into the soil after using root hormone powder. Place your slip-started plants in bright light but not direct sun, with geraniums, some yellowing of the very lowest leaves is to be expected. Watch for new growth at the tip of the geranium stalk, and if you see that, it's a good sign. Your slip geranium is going to make it. So just a suggestion, try slipping. It's fun. You might have a failure or two, but it's a favorite color. If you have a favorite color of a variety you love, you might want to try slipping. I've done this with my very favorite coleus called Wasibi for many years now. And just FYI, Wasibi is a chartreuse coleus with ruffly edges that grows very tall, and I just love it.
Well, I consider all of these methods to be bonus ways to not yes. only conserve and save expense in the garden, because believe us, you will find other things to spend those those well-earned right. monies on. As we go through our spring, we'll give you some ideas of how to select garden plants. If you're going to your local greenhouse or garden center, how to select a really great garden plant. My mother always says, if you check out the different kinds of plants, they might all look the same, but look closer and you can find some of those bonus plants planted in those pots. And the garden centers are going to be waking up before we know it.
Yes.
And the selection is going to be there. We're also going to talk about timing of bringing some of those plants home, making sure that you have an adequate place to collect them, and also making sure that they're surviving before you put them into the ground. We have so many holidays that are coming up. There's so many opportunities to have additional plants. And if you can see some of these ideas for expanding the bounty of your plants, such as maybe even planting seeds coming in June or July, depending on what kind of flowers you have. If we have, who knows, maybe we'll have an elongated fall as well.
Right, maybe.
This crazy weather. We don't know what to expect, but we do know to expect to be back here on Wednesday, as yes. always, with another edition of In the Garden with Kelly and Shar. And as always, you can find our Facebook page on In the Garden with Kelly and Shar. Send us your tips and tricks, and we'll try to send you links to the latest and greatest in gardening things for your garden. Tell us how we're doing. Contact us. We'd love to hear from you and see some of your great successes. Until next week, it's bye-bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
Pulling weeds and picking stones. We are made.